Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's bring in Zach Ellis now, writer and digital media editor, VUCommodores.com. Guy, I had chances to sit with for a while at the game last night. Appreciate Joe Fisher let me crash in there for a few innings. Zach, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm pretty tired, but, doing pretty well. Quite a, not just a game, good game last night, but quite a series overall for Vanderbilt and SEC baseball last night.
Zach, it seemed like last night's game had everything. It was like a whole season in 11 innings there, wasn't it? You had controversial plays. They had some great defense, drama in the ninth, opportunities missed, all of it rolling into one in this game.
You just kind of expected it was gonna end up that way, Kevin. And when you really think about, you know, Mississippi State winning game one on Friday and a walk-off home run, and then you had Vanderbilt bouncing back with a walk-off home run on Saturday, from J.J. Bleday, you just kind of felt that there was going to be something special about this one, and while a walk-off didn't determine it, like you said, you kind of saw a little bit of everything. I mean, obviously, you know, Vanderbilt going to the bottom of the ninth, trailing by, I think it was 3 runs at the time, managing to come back with a Pat DeMarco home run, and Ethan Paul had a 2-run homer. I mean, just the chances of that happening seemed so slim at the time, you know, to force extra innings, and then obviously, you know, both teams going so deep into the bullpens, and Vanderbilt just not being able to hold on late. But yeah, I think the word you used there was missed opportunities, or phrase you used was missed opportunities. I think that's what I wrote about last night, at least for Vanderbilt. That's probably one of the most indicative things about this game, I would say. I mean, 17 runners stranded on base, which actually we checked, and that's the most that Vanderbilt's ever left on base in a super regional as a program. So but it wasn't just last night. You looked at it throughout the whole series. I think 35 runners left on base throughout those 3 games total. And, you know, I think they left the bases loaded on 3 different occasions last night. And I think those are the moments that if you're Tim Corbin and that staff, you're going to look back and say, you know, what might have been. But still, you know, being able to rally like Vanderbilt did, doing that basically the entire weekend, having to play from behind with a pretty young team, you probably have to be pretty happy with what you saw, considering where this team was in the middle of the season.
How were these young guys able to play at such a high level in their first postseason? I mean, you had some veteran guys, but, you know, DeMarco and Martin and some of the other younger players really performed well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of had a combination of things. You had guys grow throughout the year. I mean, obviously, this freshman class, the Pat DeMarcos, the Austin Martins, Mason Hickman eventually evolved into the Sunday starter there, for one of the more reliable pitchers. This was the number one rated recruiting class coming in. They were very highly touted. I think it was something like 16 or 17 guys made up about half the roster. You knew that youth would be a big part of this team. But, you know, I think you saw growth on their end, but you also saw, I think, you talked to a lot of the freshmen, they will say that the junior class really helped them kind of get used to what the postseason would bring. And that was a junior class, you know, the Connor Kaisers, the Ethan Pauls, the Patrick Rabies, who themselves were the number one recruiting class when they came in a couple of years ago. So they know what it's like to be young. They know what it's like to be playing for a program that is used to going to the NCAA tournament and used to going to Omaha. And, you know, I think that having that kind of class there, that leadership, helped younger guys come along. But, you know, those young guys certainly got their feet wet as the season went on. I mean, the season kicks off and these guys are big parts of the lineup top to bottom. So it wasn't like they were just thrust into a situation they hadn't played in yet completely. All the postseason baseball is a different animal at times, but I think you saw a combination of just old guys helping younger guys and younger guys who were obviously very, very talented using that regular season as experience to help them when they got into tournament time.
Were you surprised that Vandy went with Chandler Day at that particular spot in the game where they had been, you know, kind of saving him for a little bit later on?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. As you mentioned, I was sitting in kind of with Joe Fisher last night, not on the radio, but in his booth for all three games, and it sounded like, based on what Joe was saying, the early draw for Chandler Day, maybe they were hoping, Scott Brown and Tim Corbin were hoping, that Chandler might be able to go a few innings, and he did, instead of just a short, brief amount of work. And I think that probably, you know, certainly that played a factor later on when you're having to go deep in the bullpen, Jackson Gillis, Zach King, you know, Tyler Brown ultimately there at the end. I think whenever you're going into extra innings, obviously you're getting deep into your rotation. But, yeah, I mean, I think it looked like they just wanted to get some extra innings maybe out of Chandler Day at that point. And, you know, that's what they got. But at the same time, anytime you're going that early, at the same time, you're going to be affecting later in the game, particularly when you're going into extra innings.
We're on with Zach Ellis with Vanderbilt Commodores writer and a digital media editor. Zach, first and foremost, me, the atmosphere from the TV seems like it was just rocking there. What was it like being there? Man, it just seems like you can't duplicate anything like that, even in the majors, maybe unless you're in the World Series.
Yeah, it's funny because when they were debating, or I guess when the committee was deciding where to send this super regional, you know, obviously you had a lot of factors there. Mississippi State fans on social media seem to think the size of their stadium was probably the most important thing at the time compared to 3,500 you'd get at Hawkins Field. But, you know, not so much last night, although last night was huge, but the night before in the late in the game when J.J. Bleday hit that home run, you know, Tim Corbin said last night, "I've been here 16 years. I've never seen the stadium like this." I mean, there was a lot of maroon there, but at the same time, the black and gold faithful surely showed up. And, you know, that's one thing you notice, at least I've noticed working at Vanderbilt, is that while a lot of the teams sort of have fan bases that have their own passion and their own personalities, I don't know if there's, you know, a more passionate fan base across any part of Vanderbilt than the baseball program and those who follow it. And you saw that this entire weekend. You saw early on, you know, all the games sell out. And this was just a situation where, you know, fans knew they had to show up and had to be loud. And they were from top to bottom. It was just a fantastic atmosphere for, like I said, what would be considered a smaller stadium for some places in the SEC, became a really, really tough place to play and a great atmosphere that I think saw a national TV spotlight.
Well, Zach, explain, I guess, the rule there in the eighth inning with the runner and running into the third baseman or vice versa. You know, a lot of people going crazy over social media and Twitter for sure that the third baseman ran into the runner. I guess explain the rule and was that the right call?
Yeah, that was a tough situation for Vanderbilt because that ended up being the last out there because Austin Martin, who was running from second to third, was called for interference, hitting Mississippi State's third baseman on that ground ball or that bouncing ball that I think it was Connor Kaiser that hit. You know, at the time, certainly you're frustrated to see that, but Tim Corbin was the first to say in the press conference, "Hey, that's the book rule there. You have to give the player in the field a chance to make a play." Austin Martin didn't do that, and you know, he was charged with running into the third baseman there. That ultimately cost interference and cost the third out. The timing of it obviously was unfortunate, but I don't think anybody, including Joe Fisher in the booth while I was sitting with him, said, you know, you hate to see that there, but that looked like the right call. Austin Martin just didn't give him a chance to make the play. You got to make the guy in the field have a chance to make that play, and Tim Corbin agreed. It just came at a really bad time for Vanderbilt.
Zach, to finish up, you know, some years you can look at a season-ending loss or a series loss as sort of a system failure for the program. That's not really the case. And it's just a good team losing a great game against another good team. And it really sets up well for what's to come with another good recruiting class and, you know, a lot of the key guys on this team coming back for next year.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Going into the year, when you look back at 2017, it was in a way sort of a similar situation, maybe not as young of a team, but you had a team in 2017 that some fans would say maybe underachieved during the regular season, was one and done in the tournament just like this year, and still was able to reach a super regional this year. You know, I think Tim Corbin pointed back to that Auburn series that they lost midway through the SEC play. They're sitting at something like 25-22. Postseason hopes are sort of up in the air at that point, and they ended up making a run, going out, you know, winning a series at Tennessee, beating Kentucky in their season finale here, making it to the SEC tournament. No, they're one and done there, going and winning the Clemson regional again. This was a team, again, that was so defined by youth in a lot of ways that I think you saw just a different team at the end of the year than you were at the beginning, and that's exactly, in a lot of ways, what Mississippi State was. You know, same situation. That's why Tim Corbin was quick to say, "Hey, we swept these guys, but this is a different series." And I do think it sets up well. I mean, as you mentioned, you certainly have a ton of freshmen who played huge, huge roles, will be very seasoned sophomores at this point next year. Another big recruiting class coming in. You know, the big question, I think, is more which juniors come back, which ones are heading on, how this year's sophomore class can jump up and become impactful seniors next year. But, yeah, I mean, I have to think that with the amount of freshmen that played on this team and how impactful they were in key moments down the stretch for the Commodores, that has to bode well for the future of this program.
Zach Ellis, thanks so much, man.